Ay. Okay, we started last week. Nipple, Nephila. Let's see where we got up to. I thought I made a mark here. I don't know why I can't see it. Okay, cool. We'll pick it up. We'll go from there. Nipple. That's the the tefillah we saw from Esther. I mean, based on the pasuk, and you fall in front of Hashem. The sukkah tefillah that requires other tefillahs. You sit, you stand, you do what you're doing, and you daven. Said dvarim shiyotzei mehalev, dvarim shiyotzei mehapeh. Yeah, there's a hizbatlus. There's a tefillah. There's a representation. Yeah. The symbology of when you fall in front of somebody, it's hizbatlus legamre. You're humbling yourself, you're nullifying yourself completely in front of whatever it is you're falling in front of. And that is a that's a tradition of all tefillahs are nava and hizbatlus. We see this has this added dimension of it. He brought from Matnas La'anim that you have to give a person according to what he needs. You have to put him back to where he was. You have to give the ani what he needs, what he's short of. If he doesn't have a shirt, you've got to buy him a shirt. He doesn't have a Rolls Royce, you have to buy him a Rolls Royce. Of course, if you can, we spoke about that. It's a hill that's on the tibul. If the yachid can't, okay. So that's what pillar as well. And if one has to feel like an oni when one's standing in front of Hashem, one has to come really recognizing what your need is, recognizing kama chaseata, how much I'm lacking, and then there's this feeling of an oni that, and you come to a Kodesh Baruch Hu with that. With that tnai, echad, he said, she on even its tarich. I don't have it and I need it. You don't have to make him wealthy, you have to make him, you have to give him what he needs. So, too with tefillah, we said, the first tnai of tefillah is that the person has to come before the Boira after an understanding. He has a genuine, serious understanding of how much he's lacking in the thing that he's asking for. If it's something to be nice to have, okay, I'll get it, I'll get it. If not, not. Say, look, it's in the filler. The fillers, you have to really recognize deeply how much a person is, how much a person is lacking. And we said that when a person, panosta, let's say, for example, health, those are things that are korov leben adam. He feels the lack, he feels it terribly. When it comes to other things, Yerush Shamayim, steiging in Torah, there it's a little bit harder. To get the the level of tefillah up to where it needs to be to really feel that chisaron. Okay. So he said like this. That means begemara tumura al yavet. I don't know what he means. I don't understand what he says there. Uminalan. Shmuel, you have this in front of you in the English. You know, I have the English here as well. I don't know why. Let's just open it quickly and have a look. Sorry, I told you I was running late today.
What tomorrow? Yes. The page
It's talking about
176.
Yabetz. Okay, I got it. It's talking about Yabetz. All right, we'll see now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what he wants for this. The Gemara in Temurah says Al Yabetz. Who was Yabetz? No, you're the. don't know. Anybody's Bekias in Tanakh Hill seem to know who Yabetz was? Any Musak? I'm embarrassed to tell you. I don't know. Okay. We have to learn more Tanakh. Maybe we'll do that next. Sorry? No, no, that's the Yavetz. No, that's the same for Yavetz. Yeah, we talk about the Gemara is talking about Yavetz. The Gemara didn't know about, well, I mean, it knew about Rabbi Akiva. No, that's what I thought originally. I saw Yavetz. I thought, no, that's why I got confused because there's a Gemara Tmura al Yavetz. But that's not the safer that Rabbi Akiva Endem wrote. No, it's a Mishroachet. That's why I wasn't sure. That's why I got a little bit confused. It's a Pesach in Divrei Hayomim. We have to go take out the Pesach in Divrei Hayomim and have a look and see. He's a Yabetz.
Yabetz, c'est Yaakov Emden. It's possible.
No. Yeah, Yaakov Emden was the Mechaba of the Seif for the Yabetz. But here we're talking about the Gemara. He's talking about Yabetz, who died into a Kodesh Baruch in Divrei Hayomim. He was a person that lived in the times of in Tanakh. He's in Tanakh. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden didn't live that long ago.
No.
You would write it differently. You would light it with I think there's a yud after the ayin. I don't know. We've seen the Yabetz a couple of times here. We've seen Rabbi Yaakov Endon. No, this is talking about Yabetz. How do we know that Hashem answered him? Because it says in the Pasuk, Vayikra Yabetz le'elokei Yisrael le'moy in berech tevarcheni v'harbis es gvuli v'yisi yotcha ami v'os imi v'otzem ro'e l'bilti atzbi v'yov elokim es ashe shoel. So it says like this, how do we know that Hashem answered Yavetz? So it says, Yavetz called out to Hashem, Elokei Israel, saying, if you will surely bless me and expand my border, and your hand will be with me, and you will keep me from harm, so that I might not be aggrieved, whatever that word means. And God brought what he asked for. Then you see, it's the passing in Divrei Hayomim, and Hashem answered him and gave him what he asked for. So it goes weiter. In Barech Tevarcheni B'Torah. He was saying, if you'll bless me, then I'll be blessed. He's talking about in his Torah. The habit is Gvulei B'Talmidim, and he'll have lots of, you'll expand my border. Sorry, it says, the habit is Gvulei B'Talmidim. If you'll expand my borders, he's talking about Talmidim. The habit wasn't talking about more land. He wasn't asking for another piece of earth. He wasn't asking for another chetzi dunam. He was asking for Torah. He wanted his borders expanded with Talmidim. His next request was, if your hand will be with me, that I won't forget my Torah. And that I won't be aggrieved. Sorry, and that you'll keep me from harm, that I should come upon my friends like me. That is, who will not interrupt my Torah learning. I mean, people won't interrupt me when I'm learning, that I should not be aggrieved, that the Yetzirah shouldn't prevent me from learning Torah. And if you do this as well, if not, I'm going to be graven in my aggrievement. Okay. So if you don't answer me, then I'm going to be mamash stressed out. Really, really terrible. So what's he done? He's done for Torah. And he's mefaretting his tefillah, because that's an important thing to do as well when you're davening, is to mefaret, to explain the Torah. So he's breaking it down. If you'll bless me, it's in my Torah learning. You'll expand my border, I'll have lots of Talmidim. You'll handle with me that my learning shouldn't be forgotten, that no one will interrupt me, the Torah won't shepherd me. And if not, then I'm going to be too broken, I'm going to be terrible. So what do we see from this? If you'll answer me though I'm asking you, then it'll be good. And if not, it means his understanding is lack. I'm headed down to the lowest places. He understood. If he doesn't get this, what's going to be the consequences? Not if I get it good, and if not, not. So I'm sad. I'm done. Immediately Hashem answered him. Dim ze nogei lechayev velo bekashus mutoros arei kodesh bocho anoy miyad. If this goes to the core of your existence, and Hashem answers you immediately, is there something extra you'd like to have? Something, you know, I could go to sleep without understanding the Tosfos. It would be nice if I could understand the Tosfos before I go to sleep. Then you're not going to get answered immediately. But if a person recognizes, if I don't get trapped in the Tosfos, I'm done. That's it. I'm finished. If I don't get trapped, I'm a mensch. Then the Kosh Baruch answers you immediately. The famous Maisa with Rav Shach and the Bris Korov, they were talking till late hours. In a certain Rambam, they had a kash in the Rambam, they couldn't get an answer. Eventually, Rav Shach went home. A while later, the Bris Korov came up with a teret to the kash of the Rambam, and he asked his son to go to Rav Shach and tell him the teret. So his son said, Tama, but I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning, is Rav Shach's mastoma, he's sleeping, how can I go there now? He said, if Rav Shach had an answer to the Rambam, he would have come and told me. And if he hasn't got answers to the Rambam, he hasn't gone to sleep yet. He's not going to sleep until he gets this Rambam, I promise you. The Kachava, he went there and he found Rav Shach was still busy trying to work out the Rambam. Because Rav Shach couldn't go to sleep if he didn't have a problem, if he didn't understand the Rambam. I can go to sleep with a kasha. It would be nice to have the Teretz before. But for him, it was their life. So they got answered. Many things like that. The Yitzhak that we have to remember about Nippul, is it's a tefillah la'ani. That means one has to first recognize his chesaron. Then the next step. That's the first tonight. You've got to know what it is and what it means if you don't have this thing you're asking for. That's the first condition. It takes a bit of work. It's horrible having the English here, but it's also good because I at least translated properly. I forgot that I have the sefer. Let's sort here now. The Rambam says if an Oni is going door to door, you don't have to give him a big gift. You can give him a small gift. You have to give him a small gift. So he says, this is a very penetrating, very nukuf. This cuts through to the core. It goes to the essence, to the essence of what tefillah is about. Because is a tzorah. There's a certain tzorah, chalila. You need a certain amount of money to chuf, to chuf. Who doesn't know what it feels like? So he's going, he's trying, yeah, he's talking to this one, he's phoning this one, he's davening, you know, between Shachris and Mincha, he's running around, and then he's davening and he's pleading. He goes and gets brochas from great people. Somebody ill, chalila, so he goes and he speaks to the reform and he speaks to beneficiary and he speaks to refer and he speaks to all that's gone him and he goes and he increases his tefillahs and he says to heal him. That's all part of his ishtadlis. That's like an oni who's running around knocking on doors. You've got a poor guy, what does he do? He goes down knocking on doors. How much do he think he's going to make? Never mind. He goes, he knocks. That's what a person looks like. When he's got a sick person, he's got some kind of a problem. He's going, yeah, he's going there. He's trying this ishtadlis, that ishtadlis, this phone call, this doctor, this tefillah, this tikkul tehillim, this kivrei tzadikim. So he was running around, going door to door. Where were you the whole day? I'm busy trying to take care of this problem. Running around. Okay. Why is this one knocking on everyone's door? Just go to one door, knock on one door. And because he knows, because he also learned the Rambam, you don't give him a big amount. You give him a small amount as well. He's not going to get everything he needs on one door. He's going to have to go around. He's hoping to this balabos, he doesn't have to give him a lot. Can you betwila? He's involved in lots of different kinds of ishtadlises. He's doing this, and he also davens. One of the things he does, amongst all the many things he's doing, is he also davens. Then you give him a little bit. The halacha is, Rabbah Mefuresh, you don't give him a little bit. Hashem will also give him a little bit of siyat yishmael. Moshe got of a Rambam. You can't leave him empty-handed. God knocks on your door. You can't give him nothing. You give him a shekel. Five shekels. Because he's going next door. He's wandering around. He's going to everybody. As a Rambam, Mama, you got to give him something. You can't tell him I haven't got anything. You give him something. You like him. Even if you give him one little barley seed. I don't have to give him more than that. Because he can go somewhere else and somewhere else itself. This is fairly terrifying if you pay attention to this. If the war on is really starich godel, um a vachish nadova gedoila, vahana div poitre bedova muat. On he comes and he's got a big need. He needs something really big now. Someone's got to go to America for surgery, whatever. $150,000. He needs something big. And he comes to the guy, and the guy gives him 10 shekels, according to the Rambam. He's born in ma'at ma'ay machshavoysav shel oisa balabayit beregezeh. The Balabas is standing there. I was going to say, translate this word. But what's the Balabas thinking when he escorts us on to the door? Yeah. He's not going to starve to death. People that'll help him. He's not just coming to me. He's not turning on to Adam Kef, this guy dies of hunger. You ask him, why do you only give him 10 shekels? He won't tell you, well, if he dies. He'll tell you. He's not going to die. There are people, there are plenty altruistic people in town. They'll take care of him. Go to the biggest miser in town. Yeah. And what does he think when he gives it on? He tells Oni, now I can't help you now. Sorry. And then, no. Because he never helps anybody. You get guards that he doesn't know how to open up his wallet. So you ask him, well, what were you thinking? That the guy came to the door. He needs food. His mama, his family is starving. Dalila, what were you thinking? He doesn't tell you, what do I care if he dies? You ever meant anybody like that? You always go to the Balabatim in the shul. You saw a poor guy, why didn't you give him 10 shekels? They tell you, my patli, if he stops, he can drop dead for like that. Never, never. That's not what he says. Hello, what does he say? Why? Well, he came dafka to me? A lot of people in town, why did dafka come to me? He'll go somewhere else, someone else will take care of him. But if this comes down, this miser understood that he's the only guy in town. There's no one else. Everyone's gone on holiday, and because he doesn't have money to go on holiday, he stayed at home. And there's no one else that can help him. And if he doesn't help him, this guy's going to die from starvation. Then I don't care what kind of a miser you are, you're not going to let the guy go without anything. Because if I let him go, what kind of cruel person doesn't give money to somebody who needs food? And if I don't help him, no one will. So again, if I understand that this guy's got 50 people that he's going to go to, so give him something. You don't let him go without anything, but you give him something. Why? Not because I don't care. I'd love to help him. There's other people in town that he can get help from. He needs 1,000 shekels. So I can't give him 1,000 shekels. I'll give him 10 shekels. What's he going to do? He'll get 100 people and he'll get his 10 shekels from each one and he'll miss the day. But what happens if I'm the only person in town? There's no one else that can help him. Then you do whatever you can to help him. Besides the fact that we have special feelings towards our children, there's no question about that. But we often feel that our kids have no one else to help them, so we help them more than we would help anybody else. When your son phones you up and needs money, the chuf or whatever, it's different to if it's somebody else calling you up. For sure, because it's your son. I'm not saying you're not. But very often you feel, I'm the only one that he can turn to. Who else is he going to turn to? Tend to go to Yishveh. Go to the Mechutin. You feel very obligated. But when an Oni comes to you, don't feel obligated because you know there's another 50,000 people in town. You can go to every door. So listen to this. V'cheinu etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God Baruch Hu works the same.
Because
When you fall in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you ask him to have mercy on you because there's no one else that can help you, and you feel that, I'll never get what I need, Hashem. If you don't help me, that's it. I'm done. Finished. Like the one who knocks on the Gvir's door and said, if you don't help me, I'm going to drop dead from starvation. If a person really feels there's no one else that can help me, no one else can help me, only you, Hashem, then Hashem helps him immediately. That's the tefillah that we're talking about now, the tefillah. The neifel kol kula nefonis yisparach shmoi v'yisbatlis gemura. Ephes, I have nothing else if I don't get from you. Total nullifying of oneself. Gemur kol yishroisi rak mimcho yisparach v'ein acha yoichel osheini. All my hope is to Hashem. No one else can help me. Not the bank manager, not the richest guy in the world, not the biggest doctor in town, not the biggest shatchin. The problem I have, only you can solve. Who can appeal as Esther, if now Melech? Like Esther, when she fell in front of the Melech. But it's also talking about Hashem. Rehu HaMelech, Ve'edach HaYishayich, Lachzeh HaGzeire, Elohu. This Gzeire that was on Klal Yisrael in the time of Purim. Only the Melech could revoke that Gzeire, and even for him it wasn't so poshut. He was boss of a dog, but nobody else could. If the Melech didn't help Esther, she couldn't go anywhere else. Even Haman himself couldn't revoke the decree once it had been sealed with the seal of the Melech. So there's no one else that can help me. That's the tefillah of Nefila. And she knew that, and she felt that. She knew this is it. This is the one shot. We either get this right or it's done. With Nugama Yisa, Bepashtas, Tfilosa, Neure, Tuchoni Amago. Wow, that's an interesting chiddush. That's Choni Amargel. Choni Amargel is an interesting character. You ever thought about his tefillah? Choni Amargel's tefillah is Neir Vayon. He made a circle. He drew a circle. You all know the Maitha. He stood inside the circle. He knew the Shimcha Gadol. And he made a sure of Shimcha Gadol. How long do you think he's going to stand there? Choni Amargel thought, if I have to stand here, I'll die here. He made a shvur b'shem HaGadol, I'm not leaving here until you answer Hashem. If Hashem says, I'm not answering you, what's he going to do now? Leave? He can't. He made a shvur. He would have stood there forever until he just couldn't stand there anymore. And it's recovered b'shvur or b'behiris gemura. An unbelievable thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you weren't Choni Amargel, you would have got struck by lightning on the spot. If you weren't Choni Amargel, Choni Amargel was able to do that. Don't you try this. But we can learn from Choni Amargel what one's attitude to this tefillah has to be. I'm not an oni that's knocking on everyone's door. I'm not going yarin yarin there and trying this and trying this. And one of the things I'm trying is also Hashem. Then he has rachamim on him. Miyad. Choni Amargel told Hashem, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm standing in the circle. I'm not going to try and get rain from 30 other different places. Either you make it rain or I ain't going anywhere. Maybe with a shur. That's the getter of Nefila. That's the tefillah of Nefila. It's recognizing the problem. And recognizing no one else can help you. That means you don't have to make ishtadlis. That's a separate story. You have to make ishtadlis. You're not talking about ishtadlis. But the tefillah to Hashem is not just another ishtadlis. Like Rav Chaim Friedlander says, Albert Tochen is baguette ishtadlis. We try lots of things and we also go to Hashem. You find this one, you speak to this one, you try that, and you also daven. So then Albert Tochen is a shtikal ishtadlis, like all the other ishtadlises. There's a lot of nitkal Albert Tochen. But the problem is where, you know, there's no one else. The Nefila requires this understanding of what the problem is. And second of all, there's nothing else. I don't have any other options. I don't have any other solutions. There's a famous Maisibar of Pinkas. I might have mentioned it here before. I have stopped because I don't want to have to tell it again if you heard it. There was a person who never had children, Rahmana Litzlan. And he'd been everywhere. He'd been to all the Babas and all the Gedolim and all the Kivret Tzedikim. He'd done everything. And he heard about a certain tzaddikim of Hakim, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, was also going to go get a bracha from him. They got up one day, got the bus. He arrived in Ofakim. It was, I think it was late in the evening as far as I understood. But it's not necessarily, you don't have to know that. Rupinkus was somebody who was barely at home. He wasn't home that often. He traveled a lot, and he was out a lot, and he was oisik a lot. You haven't heard this maaser? You haven't heard this maaser, then you'll understand this a bit better, where it came from. He didn't just talk about these things, he actually did them. So this guy knocks on his door. Rupinkus lets him in. Very nice, whatever, what's the problem? He doesn't have children, and he came to get a brocha. So what do you do when a guy does that to you? You know a brocha, and you wish him well, and you give him a cup of coffee, and you send him on his way. No, Rupinkus says, you don't have children? Come with me. Or come back in an hour. Lots of care, the pratim aren't important. Put him in his car, and he went for a drive. He drove out into the desert, middle of nowhere. He says to him, you now go and you dive into Hashem, because only Hashem can help you. I'll come back in an hour and I'll pick you up. And he gets the guy out the car and he drives off. He's a guy standing in the middle of nowhere. And off he goes. Comes back later, half an hour, almost done there. He has a look at him. He says, you haven't started diving yet. Your eyes are still dry. Well, what are you doing? You need a child. You have to mama start crying and screaming. Diving to Hashem. No one else can help you. I'm not giving you a bracha. You have to dive. Now's the time to dive. It's the last opportunity. I'm coming back. I'll fetch you later. He goes. Comes back an hour later, the guy's too broken. He's crying. He's bloody. He said, oh, now you can have children. And a year later, he had a child. 9 months later, 8 months later, 2 years later, almost done here. But he had a child, a well-known miser. So the story is about Rupinkus, first of all. What was he doing? He's a busy guy. He hardly is ever home. What are you schmutzing around the desert for 2 hours with this guy? But that's the vault. This guy understood that he needed help. So he was like an oni knocking on the door. Rather to Pinkus's door. So you give him a prutu, you give him a brock, and you go, no. Being an oni knocking on people's doors is not going to get you what you need. What you need is you have to understand no one else can help you other than Hashem. You go into the desert where you don't know where you are, and if I don't come back and fetch you, no one's going to fetch you. You're stuck there forever. You know what? What are you going to do? We're in the middle of the desert, 10 km from Gaza, ata zel tabod. He made him feel totally, totally helpless. Then you start screaming to Hashem, oh, then you get answered. That's the Yesodia. He's relying on Hashem, kegomol alai imoy. Like a little baby relies on his mother. She called Ima. She kobekes tinuk ben yoima, mutapele si gam, who bo yom velayla. Zebitu kulu tole rakba. Why is a mother totally, totally given over to this little baby? The other children aren't always that well taken care of when there's a new baby. The husband has to come home and take care of everything around the house. Because why? Because she's totally, totally masur to the baby. Besides everything else that she's exhausted. This mother knows that this baby has nowhere else to go. If this mother doesn't help this child, the child's finished. So the mother gives the baby whatever he needs. He peeps in the middle of the night. She's up. He needs this, he cries, he needs a diaper, he's totally, that's kegomol alai imoy, says Dovid HaMelech. That's how I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kegomol alai imoy. There's gomol alai imoy, Dovid HaMelech says, and then there's kegomol alai imoy. There's the early stages of a child who's totally dependent on his mother. Then he goes through a stage of becoming more and more and more independent. And then he starts recognizing that all that independence is actually from Hashem. And then he starts relying on Hashem like he relied on his mother when he was a baby. Not as a baby, as an adult. He doesn't stay a baby. There are a lot of people that stay as babies. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about somebody who built himself. But he gives that to Hashem. He recognizes it comes from Hashem. No one else can help me like the baby. No one else can help this baby. The baby's not saying, well, if mom doesn't help me, dad will help me. If not, the brothers and sisters, there's always Bob and Zayda. There's the aunties, the uncles. There's a lot of people can help me. You know, I don't need you more to change my diaper. No, the baby recognizes there's no one else. And the mother knows that there's no one else. Maybe peeps, he gets whatever he needs straight away. That's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one else. So as long as you think, yeah, the bank manager will help me. This one will help me. That one, the doctor. Oh, good doctor. Yeah, I got protection. I got an appointment. This is it. Then you dive into Hashem. Yeah, Hashem says, fine, I'll give you whatever. We'll give you a little bit as well. I'll also give you a bit of refuah. But you recognize, that's what Hashem's doing to us today. All the things we used to rely on that we thought were taking care of us, we suddenly realize them laws there. All the things we were relying on all along without even paying attention to it. Hashem slowly stripping all of it away from you. You're left with Hashem. The kol ha-matara is to get to this nakuda of benayt v'lifnei ha-melech. A good Shabbos.
The question is, we can force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give something or not. That means if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, it's okay. If you don't want, he will not receive.
If it's not good for you, you're not going to get it no matter what.
Yeah.
You have to be careful. There were people on a certain level that got even, they got it even though it wasn't good for them because they got to that level of godless.
Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu, had Moshe Rabbeinu davened one more tefillah, Hashem would have had to let him into Eretz Yisrael, which wouldn't have been good. That's why he asked him not to. But if Moshe asked what, he would have got it. There is a darga like that.
Yeah.
There is such a darga. Exactly how that works, I'm not sure. But when you go to Kodesh Baruch Hu, broken to brochen, not forcing his hand, just recognizing in yourself, no one else can help me. I've tried everything else. Nothing helps. Then I turn to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Hashem, you're the only one, no one else. I'm not going knocking door to door anymore. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to help you. Again, he's not going to do it if it's not good for you. I'm sure there are plenty of people that daven for children like this and whatever. The great Tzaddikim, the Reb Simcha Wasserman Zasad, never had children. I'm sure he knew about this. Hashem has his own cheshbonos, beseder, nachinami, abol beikaron, the tshuva comes. Rebbetzin Pinkus's wife said she never saw her husband cry for something and never got it. What about in Tila? I'm not talking as a baby. She said, when he got up to daven for something, he cried, he knew the answer would come straight away. Mm-hmm. That's what she said about it. Okay, he was a shtick tefillah. Rav Taube told me once, he said to me, you won't hear me speaking about tefillah. You've got all of Taube's shearing. There's no shear on tefillah. He said, why not? He said, because I need all my gifts. That's not my speciality. I don't exactly know the lot of new words. Taube davened. Well, he didn't feel that was his. He said, but Rav Shimshon's a shtick tefillah. Rav Shimshon can talk about tefillah because he is tefillah. He's not just someone who davens. Rav Shimshon's whole mechus was tefillah. He was walking with Hashem hand in hand, talking to Hashem day in and day out. That was his whole essence was that. That's a different darga. That's a totally different darga. And he's sharing with us some of the secrets. So hopefully we'll be able to absorb some of them. I told Shmuel Eli, I'll just tell you quickly. Somebody showed me, Rav Matisyahu said, and all the vadim he gives, this one was the most special vad that he ever gave, was on the sefer. He said, whenever they finished the sefer, they would start again straight away. And he said, it's the greatest sefer on tefillah that's been written in the last few generations. Yeah. Generations. As we sensing that a little bit. You feel there's something going on here. It's a nifla. Okay. Take good care, boys. Have a good Shabbos.
Right. Oh, yeah, good Shabbos.
You don't come anymore. Anyway, there's no 9:30 cheer on Sunday and probably not a 1 o'clock cheer either. But I'll.
Okay.
If you see me around later, then there'll be a 1 o'clock cheer. If you don't see me around, I doubt there's going to be a 1 o'clock cheer. Okay.
I'm getting out of
plane, Gabriel,
on Sunday night for my granddaughter's wedding.
Mazel tov. It's a yofi. I'm going to see your the Bible is Shalom. You should have koich for all your simchas. It should be b'shnat tovah mutzlachas, opinion and de'ad.
Amen.
Lots and lots of nachas and lots of simchas.
Amen.
Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be based in the States?
Okay, well, they all get married in Lakewood.
Nachon.
We're flying to Lakewood. We're going to be there minimum amount of time, 2 days. And then we're going to head for Miami for Sheva Brachas and warming up.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay.
Go enjoy yourself. Have a lot of nachas.
Amen. Nachas to all. All too.